And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
I'm so happy for Loyola, for the city of Chicago, because we are almost a Cinderella.
2-1-0, and how about this? Loyola Chicago is off to the Final Four.
3 seconds, 2 seconds, that's it! The Michigan Wolverines will move on to the Final Four.
Bridges, he's wide open for the three. It rims the basket, no good, but DiVincenzo slams it home.
Came really close to going in, it didn't.
Kind of spun around, it looked like it had a chance to fall in, and fortunately when it came off, you know, it was at zero, so there was no time for any rebound, but yeah, we were fortunate.
Newman for three, hello Newman, 81-78, Kansas by three.
3 weeks is a good kind of benchmark to reevaluate and reassess kind of where I'm at, my progress or whatnot.
I'm just assuming he's not going to play on the first round, and we'll reevaluate after 4 weeks. Maybe five, and then maybe he'll play, but who the hell knows?
What I learned from my injury was that I'm unstoppable, man.
Hey, welcome in. It's hour number two of the Closers here alongside the empty chair that is normally occupied by Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Jay taking a couple of days off, getting a jump start here on spring break. I hope he brought his life jacket and paddle as he is out camping this weekend. Hour number two is going to kick off with Nick Jost here momentarily. But we kick things off with our opening montage. Vladimir Tarasenko, a pair of goals over the weekend, propelling the Blues to a pair of wins. And now the second wild card in the Western Conference. Sister Jean, they're now using her full name in the highlight slugs. Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt, a chaplain for Loyola Chicago. And she's talking about her team being the Cinderella team, and the Cinderella team advances. They're now the fourth 11 seed in NCAA history to make the Final Four. None of them have made the championship game. We'll see if that one changes on Saturday night. Full coverage here on KFRU. Westwood won. Michigan wins. Nova wins. Grayson Allen, Bill Self talking about the shot that should have gone in, made a hero of Grayson Allen. Instead, it didn't, and that means the Beakers move on as a one seed. It was a really good weekend right up until that point. Steph Curry and Steve Kerr talking about the MCL strain for Steph Curry and Jason Pierre-Paul. Once a Giant, now a Buccaneer, missing a thumb and a part of his finger, and he says the injury taught him that he is unstoppable. So hour number two kicking things off, and this might save me the phone call. Nick Jost, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Communications, will join us here. We're going to talk a whole lot of stuff Mizzou. Are you in from the rain?
I am in for the rain. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Very good, very good. So Nick Jost joining us. That's good. It's not one of the Penguins telling me that I did something wrong. That's later this week when we change a full operating system over. All right. So how's that south end zone looking right now? It looks very airy the last time I saw it. A lot of space.
It's pretty empty, George, to say the least. I just was walking back from the arena back over to Hearns, and even in the rain, you know, they're out there working mm-hmm. and clearing away the debris. The entire structure is now gone, and so they're working to, you know, take away the remnants of the debris, and then they'll start building it back up. And it's going to be an exciting project for Tiger football. It's going to be great for our fans, and it's going to be outstanding for our athletic department as well.
And I know the Mizzou football Twitter account tweeted out the schedule for progress, and the season opens September 1st. The host, UT Martin, no relationship to the head coach, Konzo Martin, but UT Martin in town. And what are folks going to be looking at that point in time? It's going to be it's like a reverse horseshoe for folks.
It is. And so, you know, obviously, George, for throughout the season, much like last year, Arkansas fans were able to, you know, each week come and see how their north end zone mm-hmm. project developed. At Mizzou, it'll be the south end project, and they'll see the steel, come up out of the ground. And hopefully, you know, as you get to September, I would think a lot of the framework will be done. And then, you know, by the time you get to Thanksgiving and towards the end of the year, you want to have it all tied in. So that you can work on the inside. And it's really amazing, a project of this magnitude. The level of detail. You know, I've never built a house. I've watched a lot of people who have built a house, but this is, you know, magnified times probably 1,000.
Yeah.
You know, we're already making decisions on graphics, on AV equipment, of things like that. So, you know, just your level of detail. You'd think, man, you're not coming. The building's not coming online until 19. Why do you have to do that? And it's just all part of the process. The lockers have already been picked out. You know, things like that. So it's a really a detailed process, and it's an exciting process, but it's one that, you know, our staff, you know, certainly with Tim Hickman, who oversees all of our facilities and our capital projects, you know, he's been working on it now since last August, and really getting into the level of detail into those areas is really, really important to make sure you have a great building at the end. So, and this is something that, you know, obviously we do on top of all the other things to keep the enterprise running and humming along on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, because, oh, by the way, you still have a football team to take care of, and they're still running spring practice, but they're running it in the north end zone, which, with all the bad things that happened in that north end zone over time, I'm sure you become familiar that it's probably good practice. People are wondering, why the heck didn't you tear out the north end zone? But with all of that, Nick, and everything that is going on, the spring game is coming up. What's going to happen with the spring game, especially as far as parking? And I know ticketing is not going to be that huge of a problem because you still have both sides. But how do people navigate their way through what they used to be able to park right in that G lot?
Right. We'll be putting out, George, some information. Probably the lot that will be most affected by this. You know, you mentioned G, and also if you came in off of Providence there,
okay.
If you were going north, that lot there, to the left, immediately to the right, as you come in, will not be available because that's already been fenced off. And mm-hmm. So, you know, people will see the road. There's a road that the road has to be moved over a little bit. So all that is coming along, you know, really well, even though it's early in the process. So all that will unfold, and seating like last year will all be in the East Stadium, so that, you know, as the cameras are shooting across from the SEC Network broadcast, that it's all shot into the crowd in the east. So from that standpoint, that's what we'll use, is the east and the north, and we won't seat anybody on the west side.
Okay, and then for parking and ticketing for the season opener, once the 2018 season kicks things off with UT Martin on September 1st, for those folks who used to have tickets in that south end zone, now what are their options now?
They have been all contacted by our ticket office and by our ticketing partner, Learfield Ticket Solutions, IMG Learfield Ticket Solutions, and they were offered opportunities to move within the stadium, and at a grandfathered price of keeping their not only the number of seats but the price point.
Okay.
For up to 5 years, depending on how long they had been a ticket holder. So we felt we really gave them a good deal. I think most of them took us up on that, or still have the advantage to through the renewal process. So you know, we work through that as we get closer to 19. We've got to, you know, we still have to work out the visiting team allotment, where those folks will sit, to make sure we are within the you know, the rules of what the SEC wants. Oh.
So you can't use the Rock M to seat the visitors?
Yeah, I don't think that would go over well. Although it is a lower bowl seat, so
yeah,
you never know.
I mean,
how that would all shake out. But you've got that has to still be worked through just a little bit. And then also, you know, we had talked one time about about a year ago at this mm-hmm. time, talked about moving benches again, and which is something we'll continue to explore. You know, with Coach Odom and with our students and things like that.
Okay.
But that has not been resolved yet either. So all the changes, our goal, what would be to make them all at one time in 19. So as we churn through things and check off one opportunity, we'll continue to work our way down the list and get them all identified here. You know, before the end of the year. But we thought, for what we did with the people in the south end zone, and they were notified toward the end of last year of what their options were, I think we came up with a very fair plan for them, and one that certainly, knowing that was a lower price ticket, protected the price point for them, because That was important to those fans.
Yeah, because also about a year ago, the issue came up about the student group, the student section mm-hmm. being split up. And so that will also be pushed off until 2019 then too, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
yep.
Okay.
All right. Same sideline setup at least for this year.
Okay. Where are football season ticket sales at this year? I mean, I know you guys have monthly check marks and you want to be at this goal at this particular point in time. And how is that coming along?
Yeah, good question, George. We're still obviously in the renewal process, mm-hmm. and those that have had tickets a year ago have until the spring game deadline.
Yeah.
And so we are running just about even at this point a year ago. So so that's a good thing, but we still have opportunities. And as we look to how do we close the gap financially, you know, with our peers in the SEC conference, the biggest one is you know, football season ticket revenue and football ticket revenue in general. And so it's just going to be incumbent, and you know, hopefully, you know, coming off a bowl season, you return a Heisman candidate in Drew Lock on the offensive side of the ball. You've got Terry Beckner back on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Coach Odom excited about his team for this year. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that will translate into a really, really good year at the box office. But it's a process, you know, and I think, too, people are, you know, we're right still in the heart of March Madness and the basketball winding up. And so I don't know that people immediately think of football right now, but obviously the spring game will get them pointed that way. And, you know, I anticipate our renewal rate, you know, will be north of 90, okay. 90%, which is really strong. And then it'll be to grow it, though, we're going to replace those that we lose. You know, it'll be incumbent upon our ticket office and marketing and our IMG Learfield relationship to go out and do those things. And having an outbound sales center like we have now really affords us a great advantage to provide great customer service to our fans, but also, George, it also really appoints us and gives us opportunity to have touch points with our customers and to really work hard, not only at retention, but also to engage and get new season ticket holders. So we're excited about that and feel good about our plan as we move forward here.
Nick Jost with us here on The Closers, Executive Associate Athletics Director for Communications. And I'll get to I want to get to the basketball here in just a second, but for football, one of the things that especially the NFL battles this and a lot of college battles this as well, and that was reduced attendance numbers, and the number one complaint from people is price points. It costs too much to go to a game. How do you as an athletic department handle that? Keeping in mind that, yeah, you got to make the money in order to meet the bills and keep the lights on, but you also have there's a price point in here where you go above that and fans just, they walk away.
No doubt, George. And I think that, you know, we did not raise our ticket prices this year, despite, you know, going to a bowl game last year. You know, we've tried to be, I think, very sensitive with our fans relative to price points and donations. And we just need more people back at Faurot Field. At the end of the day, we can live with our price points that we have in place right now, but we just need more people. And so it's about growing your base and re-engagement. And that's why we have, you know, programs like the Ambassadors around the state that, you know, now we're over halfway of fulfilling all the counties in the state, having a representative, you know, things like that are very, very important. And I think that, you know, Coach Odom is invested, obviously, in Mizzou. I think he's got a great staff. He feels very good about how spring practice has gone to this point. You know, I think we've got an attractive home schedule, you know, for next year. And so, you know, it's set up to really do well. I'm optimistic that that's going to be the case. And so we can build off this year and keep building it. And, I mean, it didn't get to where it got, you know, 4 or 5 years ago in terms of where they were at from a ticket sales standpoint in football. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to get rebuilt overnight. Right. But we just got to keep chipping away at it each and every season. And all of us in this department are committed to that and want to do that. And it's incumbent upon us, too, because, it's our greatest opportunity to grow revenue. And at the same time, it not only helps football, but it helps our other 19 sports as well, because It's just the most revenue that can be generated.
Yeah, well, and one fan base that kind of grew up overnight, exploded overnight, if you will, was the basketball fan base. You went from struggling to get season ticket holders to every game being sold out. One of the key factors to that, Michael Porter Jr. declared today for the NBA draft, so you know he's out. But as far as basketball goes, how soon after a season is done, like what Missouri just had with both the men and the women, do you guys strike to capitalize on the enthusiasm?
That's a great question, George. Renewals for men's and women's basketball will be available starting Wednesday. So we're off and running in that regard again. And again, we had great response last year, sold out the arena on the men's side, and the women sold the most tickets from a season basis and overall, you know, that they had ever had as well. So there's a lot of optimism, obviously, in our basketball programs, and we have great leadership with Coach Martin and Coach Pinchton, and you know, obviously we're going to have the local talent with Sophie back to lead that to lead the women's team, and on the men's side, you know, guys like Kevin Purrier, Jordan Geist, and then the talented recruits that Coach Martin and his staff are bringing to campus certainly gives us optimism for, you know, what the future of Mizzou holds. Now, I must admit that I just I saw the video that Mike put out, and I guess the one question, George, I would ask you, did he address in the video if he is signed with an agent?
He did not, but all arrows point to that, and I will ask you the question. I know she didn't say anything about Jonte, so.
Well, I know, yeah, I wouldn't read anything, and I was just, it was Michael's day today, so
yeah.
Obviously I don't know anything on Jonte or where he stands right now. But again, you're dealing with talented young men there, mm-hmm. and they have to make, you know, the best decisions for them and for their families. And so, you know, we'll see what transpires. And I think the NBA has a really, really good process, you know, where they give them their grades and they'll figure it out. And then there's obviously a chance as so long as you don't sign with an agent, you have up until, you know, late May where you can pull your name back out if you so desire. So, you know, it'll be an interesting couple of weeks or month or so, I'm sure. And but hey, Konzo Martin's building a basketball program, George, that you know, Missourians can be proud of, and I have total faith in what he is doing with his program and where we're going to go with that program here in the next few years.
Executive Associate AD for Communications, Nick Jost with us here on The Closers. I was kind of thinking about this. I was putting notes together for this get-together here, Nick, and that was, has there ever been a thought or is there a thought going forward now about maybe packaging certain men's and women's games together? Because there are times where they'll have a same weekend or they'll be playing during the same week.
I think there is, George. It kind of, the challenge is you don't get your conference schedule mm-hmm. until you get the men's conference schedule in maybe mid to late August from the conference standpoint, and then you get the women's maybe a couple of weeks after that. So once we have those schedules, I think there's an opportunity more to have those conversations. So and your conference schedules are, you know, kind of based on television and ESPN and the SEC network and CBS. There's a pecking order there where they get to go through and pick their games. It's almost like a draft, if you will. And so until that draft is completed and everything happens, you really don't know. But I do think that there is an opportunity, perhaps, to do that. I don't know. You know, the one thing I don't know is here how much doubleheaders they've had in the past, or whether you can have two games, you know, on the same day, but, you know, you maybe play one game in the afternoon and the other game at night. I do know that, you know, traditionally it looks like the SEC, the women play like on a Thursday and then a mm-hmm. Sunday. And so the coaches, you know, they always want their, you know, 2-day prep as much as possible.
Right.
So how that can all work out, you just don't know. And the men would like the 2-day prep as well for each opponent.
They would like as much prep time as they possibly can for their opponents. Nick Jost with us here as we wrap this up. What's on your list now? I mean, there's, you know, it's spring break. It's supposed to be the quiet time. Everybody's going to, you know, stay out of trouble, keep the head down. So what do you get accomplished on the quiet time?
Well, I'm working on a budget. I've got a staff member who is departing, so I'm going to have to work mm-hmm. on fulfilling that. I've got I'm working on future football schedules for 2021 and beyond. So it never stops, George. And so you know, we're planning. And, you know, I think I'd be remiss if we didn't mention that, you know, through the first rankings in the Learfield Cup, Mizzou stands 21st, tied for 21st right now. So that'd be our second highest in the early reveal of the standings. And that's without four sports being scored. So there's points for the basketballs to come. There's points for women's gymnastics yet to come and men's swimming. So, you know, it's another incredible year right now for Mizzou athletics. And, you know, we have incredible coaches and student athletes and a support staff and fans that support the programs and are providing the resources and helping us get it done. But as I said earlier, we just need more from the football side to come along and continue to have great, you know, great support on the basketball side, both basketballs, you know, and I know Robin has done a great job of engaging the community and building the base there, but we've got room for more there as well. And so we need to maintain in basketball, grow football, grow women's basketball, and, you know, continue to provide the resources that are necessary for our programs.
Part of the Elite Eight will tip off. Yeah, part of the Elite Eight tips off here in a little bit more than 30 minutes. UConn or South Carolina, who you got?
I'm afraid UConn will probably
You're
win,
afraid?
I guess, but I'm interested to see the game.
It's one of the few times I'm pulling for UConn. My dad's happy for me now.
Yeah, it'll, but I think it'll be a great game. It'll be a great game, and then I think in the West, it's Oregon is a 2 seed, and they're going up against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So you have the chance in the women's where it could be chalk, and all four number one seeds could get to Columbus on the weekend.
Yep, Nick, it's going to be an interesting evening tonight. Nick, thank you for the time, sir. I really do appreciate it. I know you got a busy schedule, even though the kids are gone and off of campus, but I do appreciate the time, sir. Thank you.
George, thank you. We always appreciate the outstanding coverage you and your station give to our teams, and it does not go unnoticed by me that you really work your tail off and do a great job covering us, so thank you.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that, and we will be in touch. Nick Jost, Executive Associate Athletic Director for Communications over at the University of Missouri. We'll be right back. We got a couple of things to touch base on. One of those is going to be some hockey. The St. Louis Blues picked up a pair of wins, and we'll get you ready for an evening of activity and also an announcement from the AP regarding Sophie Cunningham. All of that, a whole lot more coming up next.
Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to the Closers here alongside the empty chair that normally contains Jay Sparks. He is taking a couple of days off. He'll be back on Wednesday to rejoin the program. And till then, you got me. So we're just going to have to get along together. I'm George Young, 442-8255 is the phone number. Top of the hour, Women's Basketball Elite Eight will tip off. And it will be UConn and South Carolina from Albany. And then that will be followed about 8 o'clock from Spokane, Washington, and Notre Dame. And Oregon will tip things off. Well, you didn't get to see a whole lot of him on the basketball floor this year. You got to see a total of about 17 and a half minutes a game. 53 total minutes for Michael Porter Jr. He shot 33%. Averaged 17.7 points per game and 9 rebounds per game. And he is, in his own words, on the way out the door. Here's Michael Porter Jr. earlier on Instagram. You know, no press conference, no releases, no sitting at the podium or nothing. It's the new way thing, new way for these kids.
Man, it's been a crazy year, but I feel so blessed to be in the position I'm at. I want to thank Mizzou Nation, my coaches, and my teammates for the incredible support I received ever since I committed to the university. I wish I could have been on the floor with my brothers every single night, but I'm so thankful to have been a part of such a special group. A special thank you goes out to my family. Y'all have been there for me through it all, and I just want to let y'all know how much y'all mean to me. And with that being said, after talking over my coaches and my family, I would like to announce that I'm declaring for the 2018 NBA Draft.
So there you go. 53 total minutes in a Missouri Tiger uniform. He said he wanted to leave a legacy, and I know some people will snidely say, oh, yeah, some legacy. He played in 3 games, and Missouri Tigers lost 2 of the 3. He only played in 2 minutes in the other one. You know, what legacy did he leave behind? Well, how about a sold-out Mizzou arena, at least ticket-wise, all season long? How about a team that was picked to finish 5th in the SEC and actually finished fifth in the SEC without him in the lineup. A team that all of a sudden went from a laughing stock to a national news item because the projections and the ceiling was so high for this basketball team. A team that won, that picked up 20 wins this season. After 3 years of wandering about the basketball desert. It's an interesting and convoluted, and it was an often drama-filled legacy for Michael Porter Jr. here at the Missouri Tiger for the Missouri Tigers. You had that Kansas game, which I know Kansas people don't care about, but you had the Kansas game. Then you had a couple of other grainy little videos of scrimmages and dunks and such as that. And then you had the 2 minutes against Iowa State, where he played the first 2 minutes. And then sat. And everybody's like, what's going on? And therein began the drama. Now, less than a month later, we're taking back surgery. And when is he coming back? Is he coming back? No, he's not coming back. Season's over. Cryptic messages. I mean, you needed an Instagram decoder ring. And you needed the weekly version of it. But I think in 5 years, 10 years from now, when you look back on the 2017-2018 basketball season for the Missouri Tigers, and you go, what legacy did Michael Porter Jr. leave behind? What did he leave behind? I think you'll be hard-pressed to go much beyond the put Missouri basketball back on the map as a relevant team, not just in the SEC, but in the NCAA. This was a team that, again, you go through those 3 years, and the final year with Frank Haith and that bowing out in that NIT, those 3 years, nobody talked about Missouri basketball. Nobody cared about Missouri basketball. People were looking for reasons to run away from Missouri basketball, not buy tickets, not go to the games. It was quiet enough in that arena, you could have held the dumb thing in a library and nobody would have shushed you. So if you're looking for the legacy of what did he leave behind, it wasn't the wins and the losses. It was more the idea of this is Missouri basketball. It's fun. It's exciting. The games are noisy. It's loud. The Mizzou Arena is filled. It has an atmosphere, a good one, not poisonous. So, yeah, that in that respect, yes, he left a legacy. Now we await the Jontay Porter decision, which I also think he will declare for the NBA. He will not, however, hire an agent, and that would allow for his return to the Missouri Tigers. And that would just be a very pleasant, be like Christmas in late April for this Missouri Tiger basketball team.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back as we wrap up hour number two, the Monday edition of The Closers. Tomorrow here on the program, we're going to talk some Royals baseball with David Leske from Baseball Prospectus Kansas City. We'll also talk hoops with Jarrett Sutton. We may talk about Michael Porter Jr. You never know. We'll discuss that with him and the prospects of going forward. Because the nice thing about Jarrett is you're not only getting the college basketball knowledge, is he is in touch with a lot of NBA scouts and coaches, and he can give you a little bit of the skinny on what's happening in the NBA as far as maybe perceptions. Because I'm during one of the breaks, I was just flipping through, and one of the guys was on there talking about Michael Porter Jr. going pro and the concerns of, how does he approach the game of basketball? How does he interact with his teammates? Is he the same player he was before the back injury? How do all these things fold together when your parents are coaches, especially your dad who's been by your side all the time? How do you treat the game of basketball. So, yeah. Woo! Let the fun times begin. We're going to hyper-analyze Michael Porter Jr. as he gets ready for the NBA draft. Oh, Mr. 53 minutes of college basketball career in the rearview mirror. 14 points and 9 rebounds a game. Now, granted, it took a lot to stitch that particular stat line together, but there you go. That's what they're going to be breaking down for Porter coming up this entire, well, before leading up to the NBA draft. Combine should be interesting, too, as to whether or not he participates in that one and looks at it. Last thought here on Michael. For those of you who did watch the games this year, whether in person or on television, I think the one thing that you saw about him, and I will go back to one play in the Georgia game where you saw the flash of what could have been, and that was a steal by Geist. The outlet pass to Jonte. Jonte with the diagonal bounce pass to Porter, Michael, and Michael with the finish at the rim. That was what everybody thought you were getting for an entire season. Instead, you got a guy who was out there, and if you've ever been hurt and you're an athlete and you try to recover, the mind knows you can do this. The mind is telling you, you can do this. You've got it in you. And the body is saying, not just yet. Please hold. We'll get back to you when we're ready. And that's what you saw with Michael. You saw a lot of, I know I can do this. And the body saying, yeah, but not just yet there, Sparky. Hold on. So give him another couple of months, another couple of workouts, and continue to play the game of basketball. I think you'll see, especially in the summer league for the NBA ahead of the draft and right after the draft, I think you'll see a much different Michael Porter Jr. than what you saw at Georgia and what you saw against Florida State. So that's my thought on that one. Meanwhile, you got a lot of stuff going on tonight, but let's get to the Blues because I keep talking about this and I get myself distracted, and I've not yet at all come even close to finishing the thought on the St. Louis Blues. They are now the second wild card in the Western Conference. They are one game back, or 1 point back, rather. They are 1 point back of Colorado in the Western Conference for that first wild card position, as they've now won 5 in a row. That's the good news. The bad news for the St. Louis Blues is a little bit of depth was lost on Friday night. A torn ACL for Blues defenseman Carl Gunnarsson. His season is over, and the Blues they're looking at a couple of call-ups for the rest of this week. They will play tomorrow night. They face the San Jose Sharks at Scott Trade, 7 o'clock on Fox Sports Midwest. So that'll be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on Fox Sports Midwest. Also, Sophie Cunningham, news about her, as she is honorable mention, AP. And is on the All-American squad. South Carolina's Asia Wilson was part of it. She is a seventh player to be a 3-time All-American. But let's see, she joins Katie Lou Samuelson. Those two will tangle tonight, by the way. Oregon's Sabrina Ionescu, Louisville's Asia Star, Ardur, and Mississippi State's Victoria Vivians. And you got a chance to see a couple of those players this year at the Mizzou Arena. The second team does include Sophie Cunningham, as honorable mention. So congratulations to Sophie and all the young ladies who got that first team AP All-American honor. So congratulations to them. Again, you're going to get the first game tonight on ESPN Women's Basketball Elite 8, the last two games of that one. You're going to get UConn and South Carolina. That's at 6 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock, you're going to get Notre Dame and Oregon, both of those games on ESPN. Again, the Blues don't play until tomorrow night. Congratulations, by the way, to the Missouri Tiger baseball team, as for the first time in program history, they not only won a game against Mississippi State, they won the dang series. They had to play a lot of innings in order to do so, but they won the series. Missouri softball's got some work to do. They have a week off before they will take on LSU this weekend at Mizzou Softball Complex or Softball Stadium. We'll talk with Gina Fogue tomorrow here on the program as they drop 2 out of 3 to the Arkansas Razorbacks. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. We really do appreciate it. We will talk to you tomorrow. Stay dry and be careful out there.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.